it deeper than the sea. But what is that to me? Got my eyes on you, my captain, and I'm finding you all that I need to guide me to my destiny. And I felt the winds blow, I felt the power flow. You're undefeatable. I've seen your fire burn, I've seen your keys turn. They are unbeatable. They cannot take my liberty, for you have made me free. They can take all my possessions, but they cannot take one thing from me, because you're my reality. And I felt the winds blow, I felt the power flow. You're undefeatable.
God is he. Welcome. Glad to have you here, part of the broadcast tonight. We have another opportunity to share the word of God with those who have ears that want to hear. So, praise the Lord. Here we are. This is the seventh day, 7-7-23, seventh day of 2023. And so here of July 2023, that is, we've moved into the new month. Hope you enjoyed your 4th of July and had a good, blessed time. And now we're going to have some news here as we start out this evening. So North Carolina, Democratic governor vetoes a bill to protect children from LGBTQ ideologies, trans surgeries, but the Republicans are expected to be able to override him because they have evidently the majority. And how they got a Democratic governor, I don't know, but they did. Metro Bank in the United Kingdom refuses to open an account for a parental rights group opposing trans surgeries for children. The bank surely made it clear that they would only consider one worldview to be valid. Said Our Duty International Limited is the name of the organization that wanted to open up the account. I said they surely made it clear what they consider to be the only valid view. Yeah, so they won't even open an account. They won't even take their money to open up a new bank account. That's really weird. But obviously, my new saying is they're too woke to not go broke. I don't know if anybody else has come up with that one, but I thought of that one this week when I heard about Ben and Jerry's and their stupidity. You know, they're just too woke to not go broke. They've already lost a lot of money. Is it millions so far for their stand that they made on the 4th of July of ignorance and stupidity? But anyway, next item of news, LGBTQ obese, that's right, Army exempts fat and overweight trainees from physical fitness standards of the others, making the U.S. military the laughing stock of the world. They've already been the laughing stock of the world, but, I mean, it's just more of it. More stupid. Once you start going down the road of doing stupid things, devil things, you know, where does it ever stop? Only in their destruction, unless they could come to repentance. It's sad to see this going on in our country. It's really a sad thing. The Financial Times reported that China is taking credit for Russia not using nukes in Ukraine, in the Ukraine war. As Chinese so-called President Xi Jinping, he warned Putin not to use nuclear weapons during the invasion of the Ukraine. So he's taking credit for them not using any nuclear weapons so far. Well, we'll see. In case you didn't know, by the way, in 1946, aerial spraying of bacterium DNA particles via airplane on Chinese and Korean populations, they did that. That's not just the current thing where you see the chemtrails. Also, the bacterium that could lay down dormant for decades, it could be triggered by vaccine. So many veterans of the war later developed diseases, multiple sclerosis being the main one. So what are the chemtrails today doing to people? Are they going to be susceptible to some horrible disease because of that? And the vaccines trigger that? Because they certainly have more pandemics ahead, supposedly, and more vaccines to go with it. Cities in California rolling out aerial drone police craft capable of opening doors, smashing through glass and windows, and tracking vehicles. That's right. A drone can be dispatched at the very push of a button on a police call. If someone calls in, they can send that drone out just in a pressing a button to that location. So Get ready for more drones. CBS praises a newborn girl being trafficked to two homosexual men. Oh, that is tragic that child should have to be raised by these two men. And what will they do to this child in the meantime with their perverse nature of the spirits that have, you know, come in when people give place to those spirits, you know, they give place to that lifestyle. What kind of spirits come in? Sound of Freedom becomes number one movie on July 4th, beating Disney's Indiana Jones. That's right. The movie features Jim Caviezel and is about child sex trafficking. That's right. And he's saying his life has been threatened since this too, because he's exposing child sex trafficking even among Hollywood. So he's really letting it out. So good for him. And thank God that he made, you know, a lot of money on that so that he can continue to do the work of exposing this junk. Terrible things are being done to children. It's just not even something you want to put into words, but we pray against it in Jesus' name. We pray America wakes up and says no to this and continues to say no. Oklahoma promotes stories of Christian people who got born again, detransitioners. That's right. In gender-affirming care case, they said that they detransitioned after believing their treatments were harmful and against God's best for them, God's wishes for them. So now they're speaking up out about it. Okay. All right. Well, now we're also hearing that all your sensitive information is at risk on Meta's new Twitter clone. Well, which I would be a part of anyway, but still a lot of people are into that. So just warning them that their information is at risk and likely to be compromised. So why would you want to get on there? Excuse me. All right. Well, are you ready to get into God's Word? I'm ready. Hopefully you're ready today. And it's hot here today in Montana. And I don't know what it is where you're at. But it's sure hot here. But I imagine it's hot where you're at, too, especially down south, folks that live down south. It's hot and humid. But anyway, it's hot and dry. Well, not totally dry. There's humidity, too, because we've got an unusual amount of rain this year. Unusual amount. It just keeps on coming. Anyway, let's go ahead and open up in prayer now. Praise the Lord, and we'll get into this word that God has tonight for you and pray it'll be a blessing to you and speak to your hearts and to your lives. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for another opportunity to gather together with your people, your church. Father, we thank you for speaking tonight, Lord, to each and every one who would listen and hear and want to hear what you would be saying. And, Lord, we thank you that you make it personal, Lord, that you take it into people's lives and make a difference there and minister to them, encourage them, strengthen them, and teach them, and bring conviction where conviction is necessary. Father, we thank you for these things, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God, Lord. Where would we be without your word, Lord? I wouldn't even want to think about that. We love your word, Lord. We love your word. We give thanks for it. We give thanks that we can open it up anytime, and we have two or three or more around the house, everybody, and we take it for granted. I don't thank you for that. I'm disappointed that people take your word for granted, Lord. But anyway, we are thankful to have that and have the freedom to pick it up anytime we want. And what is it going to take for people to appreciate it? Not having it anytime they want? Not being able to pick it up anytime I want. Well, Lord, I'm taking advantage of having it, and I appreciate it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for blessing us with your word. All right, so I want to just bless every listener tonight. I thank you, Lord, for each and every listener. Ask you to bless them and encourage them tonight, and hallelujah, to be just be a blessing to them through this broadcast, that I can be a blessing and that you will be a blessing. And we appreciate them and pray for them tonight in Jesus' name, that you would bless them and prosper them and provide abundantly for them spiritually and physically and financially, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we cover the broadcast with the blood of Jesus tonight, Lord, and thank you that you'll have your way, and loose the angels to take care of things here too also. And we just appreciate the time that you've given us, Lord, to do this, and appreciate your goodness and grace, and ask you to bless the families of the listeners as well, Father, in Jesus' name. We praise you and worship you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. All right. Welcome those of you listening today live. Appreciate y'all. And we're going to go ahead and get into it tonight. Are we truly believing God is the title. Are we truly believing God? Could it, you know, there's just a lot of amazement to me how so many Christians seem to be so easily taken in by the culture that we all live in today. It's kind of really amazing to me. How can Christians fall so easily into a lost culture, knowing that you are separated from the world, at least you're supposed to be, because you've been born again? It's like a lot of them don't have any guards up inside of them, that they're so, and that they're so easy targets for Satan. Have you ever asked yourself, am I an easy target for Satan? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever really examined yourself based on the Word of God, and do you really, and do you know whether you really do love him? We all say we really love him, of course, but being a believer, we should be saying that. But the questions are, and do we love him enough to let things that hold us back go? That's the question. Do we love him enough to let go of things that are holding us back in our walk? Do we really love him so much that we love, you know, not our own lives unto the death, like the scripture says, the death of our will, the death of our will over his will? You know, your will be done, Lord, not my will be done. See, are we loving him like that? I mean, that we love him so much that we love not our own desires over godly desires. Our faith over unbelief and fear. Do we love faith enough to really walk in it over unbelief and fear today? And worry and the cares of this life and all the different situations and circumstances that we all face in this life. You know, many are believers today, but like I've said before, they're unbelieving believers. A lot of unbelieving believers out there too, you know, and wouldn't want to be one of those. I want to walk by faith every day of my life upon planet Earth. And could it be that we have little New Testament believing today? I mean, this would appear to be the unfortunate truth of maybe not all, but certainly maybe the majority, 70%, 60%, 70% of the believers today. What would Jesus say if he walked among us today? What would he say the same thing that he told his disciple back in the Word of God in Luke chapter 8? Verse 25, would he say the same thing as he said there to his disciples? What did he say there? Well, we read it. He said unto them, where is your faith? That's what he said to them. He said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? And he commanded even the wind and the water, and they obey him. But where is your faith, he said. They had faith, but Jesus wanted to know where was it. Was it hiding? Did it go on vacation? Was it good as long as there was no storm out there? Everybody faces storms, folks. Where is your faith in the storm? Where is your faith when things are going kind of rough? Yeah, as long as there's no storm, oh, yeah, I got faith, I got faith. I believe God, I believe God. But here comes a little storm or a big storm. They say, wow, it's too much for me. Yeah. Let's see why he said this in verse 22 through 25 here. It says here, and now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into the ship and said, let us go over to the other side. That's what he said to his disciples. Let us go over to the other, unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came unto him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. We'll die, in other words, is what they thought. Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said, then we saw what he said. He said unto them, well, where is your faith? Where is your faith? See, in verse 22, they totally missed what Jesus said. He said, let us go unto the other side. That was the will of God. He spoke the will of God. Jesus spoke the will of God because he only did what he saw the Father do, right? So they spoke the will of God. He spoke the will of God, and he told his disciples the will of God. And so the will of God is going to be done. That was the will of God. Has God told you to do something? Why aren't you doing it? He'll ask you too, where is your faith? Where is your faith? They even said that we're dying. We're dying. They were afraid that Jesus, he was sleeping away knowing that they would get to the other side, come anything that came, because he knew that they were going to the other side. He had faith in his word that he spoke. And what happened to the disciples? That they lost their faith in the word that Jesus spoke? Did they not believe what he said? How many believers today don't really believe what he said? They prove it by their lifestyle. They're afraid they're going to die before they're supposed to die, you know, before their life is lived out. They're afraid this is going to happen to them, that is going to happen to them. And yet Jesus said this and that in the word, and we're just kind of neglecting what the word said, ignoring it. And Jesus gave his word. His word was as good as scripture, right? When he said, let us go on to the other side. That was what they were going to do. I mean, that was just like him speaking scripture out. Couldn't fail. Didn't fail. They got there. They didn't get there the way they were supposed to, but they got there. So they forgot who was in the boat with them. You know? They forgot who was in the boat with them. Who was in the boat with them? Well, the one who healed the blind, the one who raised the dead, the one who cast out demons all over the place, the one who Peter called the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who walked on water. You know, I guess a lot of us do the same thing, though. We forget who's in the boat with us. Yeah, we forget who's in the boat with us in our lives when we go through problems, when we face difficulties, when we face the attacks of the enemy in life. Yeah, that the God of all gods is in our boat, and he will bring us through any storm of life. If we'll trust him and believe, he'll bring us to the other side. He'll bring us into glory. He'll bring us into eternal life. He's going to take care of us. So what should the disciples should have done? What should they have done anyway? Well, they should have rebuked the storm and went on in faith and let Jesus keep on sleeping, because Jesus had said, we're going unto the other side. Hallelujah. No wonder Jesus said, where is your faith? Where is your faith? What's wrong, you guys? You've been with me how long now? Where is your faith? Matthew 14. Here's another instance here. Matthew 14, verse 24, sorry. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But straight away Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid thou me come unto you on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? Wherefore did thou doubt? Look at verse 26. They cried out for fear. Man, you just think at least Peter would have said, I command you, spirit, to go in Jesus' name. But instead, they all freaked out in fear, thought it was a ghost on the water, a spirit walking out there. Well, they were supposed to have authority over the spirits. Why did they freak out in fear? Why did he get to them? They were supposed to believe that, you know, they had authority. Didn't Jesus send the 70 out? Two by two to go cast out devils and heal the sick, and they saw great signs and wonders and miracles and said, wow, the devils are subject to us. Did they do that? And now here they are. Now, maybe that happened after this, of course, but in the order of the Bible. But, you know, Peter took a step of faith. He said, hey, this is Jesus. If he can walk on water, so can I. And off he goes in faith without even thinking it over. And then he starts thinking, you know, his mind gets in the way. Man can't walk on water. Duh. What am I doing? I acted presumptuously and starts thinking it through. And the mind gets in the way. That's the problem with all of us. The mind gets in the way. The wind was blowing strong. Help! He began to sink, and Lord, save me. You know, how many times have we done the same thing, though? Believe in God. But we look at the symptom or symptoms. We look at the situations and circumstances. It's not seeming to get any better. I guess I better, you know, take my this into my own hand, and boom, man, the mind got in the way. See, just like that. So Peter walked off that boat not thinking what he was doing and how that is impossible for a person to walk on water. But the mind, he started thinking, and the moment he started thinking with his mind, he quit believing. We believe in our spirit. We believe in our heart, see? Yeah, we believe in our spirit, in our heart. But the mind, oh my. Many times we better not think it out. You know what I mean? Just obey in faith and go forward. Hallelujah. That's right. Just obey in faith. Well, Jesus caught him and said, oh, ye little faith, why did you doubt? And yeah, he'll pick us up out of the storm when we cry out. But he rebuked Peter and called him of little faith. Why are you doubting now? Because he had taught him better. I mean, he taught Peter better than that, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Of course he did. Yeah. He taught him the word. Taught him faith. He taught him, you know, that he is over all. The you know, he had a dominion in the earth. And in the heaven, too. But he definitely showed him he had dominion in the earth. Look at Matthew 21:21. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say to you, or verily means truly, truly I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree. Remember, he spoke to the fig tree, dried up from the root, which is done to the fig tree. But also you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, what it say? You shall receive. Yeah. So there it is, again and again. I mean, we've got two or three witnesses already here. But let's have another witness in Matthew 17, verse 15. Here we see the disciples not able to cast out the demons in Matthew 17:15. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falls into the fire, off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to him privately, apart, and said, why could we not cast him out? And what did Jesus say? He didn't say because of you weren't fasting. He said because of your unbelief, right? Because, for verily I said to you, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you should say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Hello. Nothing should be impossible to you. But the disciples couldn't cast it out. Why couldn't they cast it out? Well, Jesus just told them why he couldn't cast it out. Why they couldn't cast it out. Because of their unbelief. Okay? See, again, believing is manifested how? By speaking. He just said here, nothing shall be impossible to you. And yet he also says over in Matthew 13, verse 58, it says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So notice what he said. Not many works. Saints, we better believe God if we want to see God do many works in our lives and mighty works. Oh, Jesus asked an unusual question in Luke 18. What was that unusual question that he was asking? Well, it's kind of funny because here he is way back then asking a question. He tell you he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, the question is he going to find faith on the earth? You know, will he? Well, I believe that's up to us, don't you? I mean, the word says we are to believe. Or will he find a bunch of Christians squabbling over doctrine? Oh, can I speak in tongues? No, it's of the devil. Oh, I believe you're of the devil for not letting me speak in tongues. Can I dance in church? No, the dances are of the devil. You can't heal the sick. That's witchcraft. Oh, yeah, really? You better not clap your hands in church. That's Old Testament. Yeah, that's for the football games only. Really? I tell you, what Bible you been reading? You've been reading one of them marked editions with a lot of it marked out, right? Because that's not what my Bible says. Oh, you know, other people saying other things like, well, we don't allow that chorus music because those chorus music in our church, we just do hymns. Or will he find his church gossiping and slandering one another? You better stay away from that bunch. They still believe God does miracles. Or they believe in casting out devils. They're really out there in left field, you know, believing that people have demons and can cast them out of people too. Hello, what did Jesus do? Somehow we're forgetting a lot of the New Testament where Jesus was, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're forgetting what Jesus did, aren't we? Huh? I think so. Oh, yeah, we know all that stuff passed away. Oh, did it? That's not what the Bible says. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Why, oh, no, really? He didn't do that, really? Oh, my, he did that? Oh, she did that? Oh, I can't believe she said that. Oh, my. And yeah, we got the first church of the gossiping saints there. I mean, really. Just wait until I tell old Sixer Bucket Mouth. She just will get she will just get so much out of that she'll be wanting to tell everybody. Her brother Big Talk Gossiper, Joe, you know, he'll certainly tell everybody about that. I can't wait to tell him. Hey, you know, listen, we're in the army of God, and when we're in the army of God, we're to be one together for each other, not against each other, not tearing each other apart, tearing each other down. Oh, my, what's going on? An army that tears each other down doesn't stand together against the enemy. Oh, what if our denominational brothers and sisters reject deliverance and miracles and signs and wonders and condemn us? We should love them, not condemn them back. Because, you know, we're not going to win them by condemning them, only, you know, loving them. showing them there's more. There's more. There's something better than you have from Jesus if you want it. I mean, look, you take a dog. I mean, you can't win a dog by beating the dog. You win it by caring for the dog and feeding it, loving that dog. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, sin must be called sin. And a lot of Christians and churches today and pastors won't confront sin and call it sin today. So they have lots of it in their congregation, you know, because they won't confront it. I mean, if you're not going to deal with sin, you know, you're going to have it there. Okay? So they have lots of it. And the Word says if we reject Jesus, the only thing there is that can save us, we will face the wrath of God. That's all there'll be left. There's no other offering for sin but Jesus. Outside of Jesus, there is nothing but hopelessness. No wonder the world's so hopeless. They don't have him. No wonder there's so much drugs and alcohol and self-medication, both legal and illegal, that people are doing. Because, hey, they're hopeless. But just because we have Jesus as Christians, we can't ignore sin among us, as many people do today. I mean, demons thrive and proliferate where sin is undealt with. I mean, we've heard the saying, right? One bad apple spoils the whole bunch. But if you leave sin alone in a group of Christians or a church, then it can spread like the rotten apple. In fact, there's scripture written about this here. If you want to read it, it's 1 Corinthians 5. It tells what we deal with. I mean, this is not talking about the world. It's talking about dealing with the sin in the camp of the Lord. And this is New Testament, not Old Testament, by the way. 1 Corinthians 1, 5, 1 and 2. Let's read it. It's reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one shall have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned, and that he has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Yeah, would you get that out of there? Verse 5 tells us that to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Yeah, that's a serious situation. And look on further here what he said. In verse 9, he said, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or else you'd have to leave the world, right? Or with the covetous, or the extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must go out of the world. He's not talking about the world. You're going to be around those kind of people as you work in the world, most likely. Fornicators, you know, and covetous, and extortioners, and idolaters. The world does that because that's what they do. That's who they are. They're lost. They do those things. But now, notice in verse 11, I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother, a sister, right, it also applies to sisters. If they're a fornicator, or they're covetous, or they're an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, know not even to eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? In other words, out of the body of Christ. Do not ye judge them that are we within, though? But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among you that wicked person. We're to judge those that are part of the body of Christ. If they're among us and they are fornicators or they're an idolater. I mean, this is New Testament. That's how serious this is. This is not Old Testament. So, failing and falling once is one thing, but if one is a habitual fornicator, habitual idolater, habitual extortioner, see, that's what it's talking about. It's not talking about if you fall into temptation and you go out and fornicate and fall into sin and then you immediately repent and you never do it again. It's not your lifestyle. It's not something that you do over and over and over again. So not just falling into temptation, but you know, if you're a drunkard and you're an alcoholic, what does the Bible say about that? You not just fell and went out and got drunk one time, but no, you repeated being a drunk over and over and over again. Or you're an idolater. How many idolaters do we have in the body of Christ today? Self-worship is idolatry, loving yourself in the wrong way, in an unbiblical way, right? Yeah, I mean, this is in the Bible. Look at it yourself, 1 Corinthians 5. Read it for yourself. Loving the world, that's idolatry, stuff of the world. Prideful, you know, bowing down to pride, you know, perpetually, over and over and over. It's one thing to fall into being prideful and giving into the temptation, but it's another thing to become an idolater of it and being loving your pride and boasting all the time and bragging. I mean, having other gods more than Jesus of any kind, you know, and being habitual with it. Not if you fall into that once or twice or three or four times. I mean, the Lord forgives you, but if you become it as a lifestyle, if you become an idolater as a lifestyle, then you need to be confronted. And the Bible says, put that wicked one out from among yourselves. Away from among yourselves, that wicked person in verse 13. See, so sin as a lifestyle has to be confronted. But a lot of churches won't do that. They just let people live together in the church or practice homosexuality in the church. They're just glad they're coming. They're just glad to have them there. More numbers. But numbers isn't everything. Quality is better than quantity, folks. You just have a bunch of people that are habitual lifestyle, you know, this, that, or the other, what we're talking about here, then what do you really have? Church of lost people, a church of people who need to be turned over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, that they could be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus? This is pretty strong stuff, I know, but it's in the Bible, and it's not in the Old Testament, but this is in the New Testament. So sin as a lifestyle has to be confronted. For to just, you know, tolerate it and put up with it will pollute others. Those demons will proliferate in the church, in the group, among other Christians if you're hanging around this person. Okay? So if they call themselves a brother or sister and have habitual willful sin issues going on, they must be confronted and even said that we must put them out from among you if they refuse to stop doing it. They refuse to repent from it. However, if they repent, receive them back and keep loving them. But, you know, real love will confront. I mean, know that if you're walking in real love, you will confront your brother or sister. You won't just ignore them and let them keep on wrecking their lives, making a mess out of themselves. Real love confronts. You know, real love will keep people out of hell. Real love will keep people from dying. Real love may be, you know, appearing like not like love at all, in fact, because love tells the truth and people don't want to hear the truth. They'd rather live in a lie than hear the truth. They'd rather live in a lie than face the truth, yeah, especially about themselves. You know, they'll face it about other people, but, oh, when it comes to themselves, it's a harder thing to do to face the truth. I know these are tough things to talk about, and I really don't like talking about it, but nevertheless, it's necessary to preach the whole counsel of God. And by the way, the one that they were talking about in this case did repent by them doing this to them and putting the wicked woman out from among them. They did repent. And the Lord, the Bible said bring him back in. So if there's repentance, true repentance, then, you know, bring them back in, right? Forgive them too, you know. I mean, if they repent and they don't continue in that lifestyle of whatever they're doing, then you got to bring them back in. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus, he's for forgiveness. He's not for condemnation, you know. He wants the brothers and sisters to be restored. But if they refuse to be restored, that's a different matter. But again, what will Jesus find when he comes for us? Right? What will we find when he comes back? Will we find faith on the earth? Will we find people believing God? Will we find people being faithful to him? What's he going to find? John 14:12, you know, I want to remind you of this. It says here, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. The greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So, listen, signs and wonders and miracles, whatever Jesus did, we should be doing. We should be doing too. Casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead. See? The same work, leading people to Christ. Yeah, we should be, but, you know, is there any faith for that? Why aren't we doing them? Greater works. What hinders us? Is it us, or is it because we think the greater work is, you know, devouring our brothers and sisters? Let's tear them down. That's the greater work. No, that's not the greater works. That's the devil works. What did Jesus do? He won thousands to Christ, to God. He healed the sick. He cast out lots of devils. He stopped the storms. He raised the dead. He fed 5,000. He showed love to people, on and on and on. He walked on the water. I mean, these are the things that we're going to have to believe God for. I remember, you know, the book Mel Tyre, they walked on water over there. Who could walk on water? Christians can walk on water if they believe it. And they need to get somewhere. Well, they did to get across. They couldn't get across, so they believed and walked on water. Look at verse 30 and 40. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, right after he said, greater works. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Do you see that? In my name, if you have anything in my name, I'll do it. But you have to believe that. You can't just say, well, I hope it happens. I hope something goes on here. Now, that's not faith. That's a hope. You need more than just hope. You have to have faith to work the hope, that which is hoped for. Yeah. So what's going on here? See, ask him, Jesus, ask the Father in Jesus' name. Demand it of the devil. Yeah, the devil has to, you know, command him to get out of the way. He's in the way of every blessing. If he can be, he'll be in the way of it. And so command him out of the way. Demand that he gets out of the way, in fact. You have the authority over him. And we just believe God. If we're ever going to get anywhere in God, we're going to have to believe him today. If we're ever going to get anywhere in our spiritual walk, we're going to have to believe him. Believe in your spirit and speak it with your mouth. If you're going to get anywhere, faith acts. That's right. Faith has action. The actions of faith bring things into existence. Don't fear to step out on the water. Don't be afraid to step out on the water and forget, you know, what that mind of yours is telling you, because a mind can cause us to miss the things of God. How many times has your mind caused you to miss a blessing that could have come into your life? Something that could have happened, but the mind sabotaged it. And who's influencing the mind? Well, we know who influences the mind. The mind is the battleground. The devil's always attacking in the mind. So we recognize that. The mind is carnal. We need to bring that carnality into death, right? And the mind must be renewed so that it won't rebel when we step out in faith, and it won't say, man can't do that, women can't do that. Yeah. Yeah, we need to learn to pass that natural mind into the realm of the true faith, the spiritual faith, the God kind of faith. That means spiritual faith when it's, you know, speaks of God kind of faith. It's talking about spiritual faith, because faith comes from the spirit. Jesus is the author and finisher of the faith. So where did it come from? It comes from your spirit realm. Okay? So reject the demons and their lies. They don't want you to receive good things from the Father. They want to keep you bound up. They want to keep you troubled all your life, worried and fretting about life, fretting about work, fretting about the family, fretting about the children, fretting about the marriages, worried and fretting about everything. I mean, and their works that they're doing against you, you know, that they're trying to get you to fret about. Because when they can get away with doing works against you, they do, see, and they'll cause you to fret and worry about the works that they're doing. Isn't that amazing? Huh? What they bring the problem, and then they try to get you to give in the temptation to worry about the problem. So remember, the battle is in your mind daily. We're dealing with stuff every day. Every one of us face stuff in our minds every day. The enemy wants to entice you to sin in any form he can sell you on. That's one reason why the renewing of your mind is so important. If your mind is not renewed by the word of God, then the enemy will be very active in your mind, and there will be little ability to resist him. You haven't put any word in there. And all of his temptation and the wiles of the devil are many. And so how are we going to do with that when it comes into our mind and attacks us? Listen, we're in a daily battle for the mind, and we should be aware of how the enemy works. And I've told you this before. We're in the daily battle for the mind. So be not ignorant of Satan's devices. Be wise. Well, how do we be wise? The word of God maketh us wise. Yes, the word of God maketh us wise. The Holy Spirit quickens the word, and we're made wise. We meditate on the word day and night. And it seems like, you know, we're in ongoing conflicts in our lives for our minds. It seems never ending. Really, though, however, the devil does have an end. I don't want to forget that. And we want to keep on reminding him of that, right? He has an end. His end is the lake of fire. His end is eternal damnation and eternal separation from Father. He shall not reign and invade our mind forever with his temptations and darkness again once he has his end. Thank God. And yet he always seems to be trying to rob us, doesn't he? To steal from us, to kill us, to destroy us in one manner or another. What is he up to? He's always seeming he's trying to rob from us, steal from us. You know, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? That's what his forte is. I mean, that's what he's about. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee. And we exalt the Lord. We lift up Jesus and all our enemies would be scattered, see? So that's kind of what we need to remember that, I think, really, because, listen, this is ongoing. It's not just a one-time deal. It's going to happen until Jesus comes. We're in this fight till Jesus comes. But, you know, you're not getting out of it till you die and go be with the Lord physically. You put off your body, in other words, or Jesus comes back. You know, I tell you, a lot of Christians are suffering today, and I mean, it's sad. I mean, some of it's brought on by their own doings, of course. I realize that. But, I mean, if you're drinking all the time, then you're going to have some problems with the liver, right? I mean, you're going to have some problems physically. If you're eating, you know, too much junk food all the time, then the body, you know, it just can't tolerate it for all the time. I mean, it's okay once in a while, but, you know, if you do it every meal, you can't live at McDonald's every meal. You can't go and eat at Taco Bell every meal. I mean, you can't, those foods are all processed food, and they're not made for you to thrive on. They're not made for healthy bodies. And so for people that don't understand that what they're putting in their body over and over and over again, and then they wonder why they're getting sick. But, you know, still, God heals the sick. He does heal the sick today, right? Even in spite of people doing that stuff and putting that stuff in their body. But sometimes they don't because of that. But still, God is merciful, remember? And so I challenge you to give me 5 scriptural reasons why you should be sick, poor, and spiritually bankrupt and ignorant. Why? Give me 5 scriptural reasons why you should be sick, poor, and spiritually bankrupt and ignorant. And if you ask me, that's the nature of a devil, not of God. The devil is sick, poor, and spiritually bankrupt and walking around in the spirit of death and darkness because he is the spirit of death and darkness. Yeah. So the kingdom of God is opposite. It's time we quit letting the devil have all the best, you know, stuff in this world. Best TV time, well, the gospel ought to have the best TV time. The best businesses in town, well, Christians ought to have the best business in town. The best of the wealth of this nation, well, Christians ought to have the wealth of this nation. Doesn't the Bible say the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just? Righteous men, righteous women, rise up, possess your inheritance. It's yours. God gave you the earth, right? He gave you the ability to walk in dominion in the earth. Everything is subject to you. But, you know, some Christians just have a poor, sick, and spiritually defeated mentality. That's just their mentality. And it needs to go. I mean, they have a poverty mentality. They have a sick mentality. Oh, I'm catching this. Always catching something. What's that called? A hypochondriac or something? You know, always sick, always catching something. You know, they're looking for a sickness. Instead of a healing, they're looking for a sickness. That's not any way to live. As a believer, they have a defeated mentality, a mindset, talking negative all the time. Hey, that needs to go. You need to bury that today, if that's you. Have a funeral for it and bury it. Yeah, we're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's who we are. That's what we are. Not strong in death, strong in sickness and poverty, disease, and being spiritually defeated and physically defeated all the time. That stuff gone, man. Let it go. Let today be the first day of the rest of your life. Determine that you will walk in all the provisions of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Seek first the kingdom of God, then your healing, then your blessings, and all will follow. But you got to seek first the kingdom of God. Let the high praises of God be in your mouth and the two-edged sword be in your hand. What you waiting for? Yeah, if you determine to move ahead, you can. If you determine to stay stuck, you will. You know, it's a lot of life is what you, life is what you make it. A lot of it is because, you know, you kind of determine the level of life you're going to live by your thinking process. And what you embrace and what you reject. Yeah. You need to bury all that dead stuff, you know. It was not birth of God. It's birth of the devil. You need to recognize where things come from. So, you know, not everything comes from God. And some people just say, you know, well, I just guess it was from God because it came my way. I don't know about that. Give me the chapter and verse for that. The devil comes your way every day to try to harass you and trouble you. Does that mean you should just receive whatever he's got to dish out on you today? Well, it's a brand new day. What you got today, devil? No. What does the Lord have today? This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Remember, Jesus called a man to follow him. Remember that story in Luke 9? Let's go over and look at that. Luke 9, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 9. He called this man, follow me. 9:59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. He was calling this man to preach, and he rejected the call. He rejected it because he wanted to go bury something that was dead. In other words, leave the dead alone, follow life. Right? Another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, that's pretty strong, you know, scripture there, Pastor Kyle. You know, that's pretty strong stuff there. You know, Jesus just calling a man, you don't even let him go back and bury you. You know, well, he wouldn't go back to the house and be talked out of it. He'd go around the dead people, the dead stuff, those of the world that would talk him out of it. Leave the dead alone and follow life. When Jesus says, follow me and preach the gospel, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That Jesus is simply telling him to follow life and not follow death. See? I mean, that's just a word from heaven for this man. And the other man, too. He said, hey, follow me. Oh, I got to go bid them farewell. But you're at home at my house. Well, those people are not necessarily people that you need to go back and get, you know, their permission for you to take off and follow God. You got to make a choice and follow God and put everything else behind you, even though, yeah, they're your family, they're your loved ones and whatever. Got to put it behind and love the Lord. That doesn't mean you never see him again. That doesn't mean you don't love him. That just means that you got to not let people talk you out of following life. And I tell you, they may be well-meaning, they may love you, but a lot of Christians are not going to let you follow life. They will put limitations on you, and they will cause you not to walk in those things that God would have you to walk in, and they will talk you out of things. And you go back there, you get talked out of it, see? And it's easy to get talked out of life and continue living around in some kind of death stuff. Easy for that to take place. Got to watch who you're listening to. Listen, the Bible tells you, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Are we doing that? Are we allowing that to take place? It's time for you to quit chasing after death. The culture is death, okay? We need to follow life. It's a death culture. You don't find life in the culture. You find life from the Word of God. See, that makes sense to you? See, people trying to find God in the culture, it's not there. You know, the kingdom of God has a different culture altogether. It's the kingdom of God, and it's not come with observation. It's within us. The kingdom of God is within you, see, and that is a different culture altogether than the culture of the world. And if you go to consult with the culture of the world, and I know a lot of Christians go get advice from worldly Christians and worldly people at work, and they take their advice and implement it into their life, and it isn't God at all. So what's that going to do for you? Where is that going to take you? You know, he's taking something from the culture of death and taking that as advice equal to God's advice, to God's word? No. But I see that happen all the time. People go and listen to people at work, and they think they're getting, you know, wise counsel, and it's not wise counsel. It's a counsel from the culture of death. Yeah. So just watch what you take in, folks. I mean, really, you got to put the guard up all the time. And when you're at work among worldly people, you think they're all going to give you the wise advice of heaven? You think they're going to tell you what Jesus would tell you? And unless you live and work with a whole bunch of wise Christians, probably not. Okay? Look over to Ephesians 1:3 here. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all his spiritual blessings in heavenly places. How many of them did he bless us with? What does it say here? Bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Did you hear that? He hath blessed us. It says he hath blessed us. That means he's already made available all the blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. They're yours now, but you have to receive them. Just because you have them doesn't mean you'll use them. Doesn't mean they'll be part of your life. You could have a lot of things, but you may never pick them up. You may never pick them up and use them. I know most Americans have a lot of things, but they don't pick them all up. Revelation 2:25 here. Notice what it says here. It says, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. This is what we're commanded to do. We have all spiritual things, blessings in Christ Jesus. But he says, that which you have already, hold fast to it. Don't let go of it. See, the devil's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to rob it from you. Hold fast what you already have. You've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness, but the devil's out to steal them, right? You've been given all things in Christ, but you better hold fast to them. You better hold fast to them or you won't walk in them. You won't walk in that blessing. You won't walk in that health. You won't walk in that abundant supply. See? Well, come on now. You hear what I'm saying to you. You got to hold fast to them. Why? Because you think someone's trying to take them? Is somebody really trying to take them from us? Absolutely. Someone who can never have them is jealous and mad at you and it wants it all. So you better hold fast. You better hold fast. Right? Not let go of the truth and that which is yours in Christ Jesus. Don't let go, but don't let go. You know, I heard a story one time about a man who had a German Shepherd. You know, German Shepherd's a powerful dog and, good watchdogs and faithful companions. But he had a German Shepherd. They were out walking one day, walking his dog, a dog walking a man, whatever. And this little bitty rat of a dog with little legs a couple of inches off the ground came running out, just barking as hard as he could. That German Shepherd as well. That German Shepherd just laid down and gave up. And, you know, that's kind of what a lot of Christians do, isn't it? They just roll over on their belly and give up when the devil comes barking. And he's just a little dog. You're this big dog in God. You're big and powerful in God. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And then there comes this little bitty thing coming out there barking and yapping at you. And what happens? Lay down, roll over. Like that German Shepherd did there. Yeah, the devil's yapping. I tell you, he's yapping a lot. And he is fussing at you and telling you all kinds of lies and trying to intimidate you, trying to provoke you, trying to get you to give place to him any way he can. And he knows all kinds of different ways for that to take place. But 1 Peter 4:7, it says, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Say, just realize that. The end of all things is at hand. Jesus is coming back. And we need to hold fast to the things of the word. Yeah. And watch into prayer and be sober, not be drunk on the wine of Babylon and the wine of this world system of darkness and all that stuff. Yeah. Be on guard. See, the enemy comes seeking to devour whoever he is. The devil, right? Was that scripture also that says the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? Yeah, he's looking. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom he may. Who's going to give me permission today? Well, let's go out and see. Ah, so-and-so, he's going to give me permission to come in. Come in. I know they're going to do it, and they do it. They do it. Yeah, you need to. He roars, he barks. Yeah, some hairy little devil. At you, he's barking at you, and you turn over, exposing your belly, and give it up. Give up your good. Give up your health. Give up your spiritual authority and your spiritual blessing. Give up your peace of God. Give up all the thing, the peace that passes understanding. Give up wisdom and understanding. No, 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 no. We better not let that hairy, foul devil have what's rightfully ours in Jesus. We better not. We better not give place to them. Give place to those demons so they can come in and make their home in us. Live inside of us. Don't roll over, show your underbelly to them. No, no. Don't let them have what you've been blessed with in Christ. No, no. You know, if God blessed you with a brand new home, then you had the warrant title to it, the warranty deed or whatever you call it in your state, and you had the title to it, and You came home from church one day after church. There was this big old tough burly man in the house, and he said, "Hey, you have to leave this home. This is mine." Well, would you, you know, just go and start packing up and say, "Honey, we have to leave. This man says this place is his." No, no, I don't believe you would you? I mean, you worked hard for years to get that home, and no, you'd say, "This is my house. You get out of here." But most Christians, you know, when the devil comes and the devil says and the devil puts pressure on, "You can't have that." Okay, well, it's yours then. I guess I give that up. And what? What? Stand up and fight, brother and sister. It's yours in Christ. Stand up and fight. You know, I've heard this taught, and I agree completely. So I'm going to tell you, you need to know four things in your walk with God. You need to know who Jesus is. You know, you need to know what Jesus has done for you, and you need to know who you are in Jesus, and you need to know what you can do in the power of the name of Jesus. Right? Who Jesus is, what Jesus has done for you personally. Who you are in Jesus personally, who you are in Jesus, and what you can do, you personally, in the power of the name of Jesus. You got to know those things if you're going to be successful in your walk with the Lord. You got to know these things. Amen? Amen. You know, if you know these things, you don't get lazy and lie down when the ugly, hairy demon comes and roars at you, barks at you. The devil walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You will live, and you will live the life of God if you don't lie down. Yeah, every good and perfect gift comes down from above. It comes down from God. He gives us these blessings. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, see? I tell you, we're looking at the culture we live in. We're looking at the world around us today, and listen, it's a culture of death. It's a culture of darkness. It's a culture of deceived people. I've never seen so many people slipping into deception. I realize there's also a lot of people waking up to the truth and not saying, "We're not going to take this anymore." Thank God for people that's doing that. We're not going to put up with this anymore. We're not going to let them run over us. We're not going to let these people have whatever they just decide the devil wants them to have, you know, and bring that on everybody else. No, there are people who are standing up, and thank God for that. And we ought to be part of that. We're not going to just put up with, you know, whatever LGBTQST or whatever they send down our throat, right? They're trying to ram down our throat. No, we're not going to let you ram that down our throat. That's perverted. And we're not going to put up with that. In Jesus' name. That is perversion. And since they've discovered Sodom and Gomorrah, you can't say that it never existed. Yeah, recently discovered Sodom and Gomorrah. An archaeologist and his team recently discovered it. And they used to try to say that Sodom and Gomorrah are just fictional. They never really existed. Well, you can't. Well, you can, and they do argue with truth, right? You know that. But they did find it. So, hello. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because of sexual perversion, because of sexual wickedness. They wanted to have sex with the angels even. They came into the town to visit Lot and to warn him to get out of that place of disgusting filth. People doing things with their body that they have no business doing with their body. I know a number of people that have done things with their body that they should have done with their body, and it cost them. Some of them had to go to the hospital because of doing disgusting and perverted things with their own body. You know, that sexual demon, they drive people to do crazy things. They drive people with a not even seemingly in control of themselves anymore, because once you start yielding to those spirits, see, there's a lot of control there. And a lot of people are dominated, and they, under the control of these spirits, they do things to their body, like cut off their breath. Really? Why would a woman want to cut off her breast to try to be a man? They put themselves through all manner of pain to try to be a woman and have their sexual organ cut off as a man to try to put a female sexual organ on them. What kind of insanity? And, you know, if people just sit back and examine this, what kind of evil possesses people? See? What's going on here that such a thing can even take place, within the mind of a person, that they would put themselves through pain like that on purpose just to achieve some type of sexual identity that is not who God created them to be? Huh? Well, see, their strong delusion is upon them because they hate God. Thank God some of them get saved. But man, just why didn't they get saved before they did all this stuff to themselves? And so they wouldn't have to go through this pain and physical stuff that they have to go through all their lives. This is tragic. It sure grieves me to see people do these things to themselves, to mutilate the human body. But Satan loves mutilating the human body. He loves abusing the human body because he hates humanity. Because God gave humanity the ability to walk in authority over him. Oh, yeah. Thank God. But, you know, the devil hates that. So he's going to abuse humanity till Jesus comes. Even if he uses them, they'll abuse them. They're used and abused and mutilated by him to achieve his own ends, to his own evil desires upon the human race. Mm-hmm. Well, go to Hebrews 4:14. Here, let's read another verse here. Hebrews 4:14. It says here, seeing then that we have a great high priest and that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or our confession. Don't change your confession. Don't begin to agree with what the devil says and change your confession. Your confession of faith, your confession of the Word of God, your confession of truth. If you begin to change what you're saying is yours, you'll lose it. Well, beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So don't change that confession. This is my confession. The Word of God is my confession. What Jesus says I have is what I have. And the devil wants you to change that. You don't have that. You're never going to get that. Your family's not going to be saved. You're not going to be making it into the heaven. Into heaven yourself. Look at you, you wretched thing, you. And on and on, he talked your lies and garbage to you, see. Well, hold fast your confession of faith. Well, how do I hold it? Well, it's simple. Let God's word live big inside of you. That's right. Let God's word live big inside of you. Don't let it live smallly inside of you, but let it live bigly, largely inside of you. Okay? Colossians 3:16. Let's go read another one. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ, we read it once, I'm going to reread it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with all grace in your hearts to the Lord, day and night, in all its richness. See? Let it dwell richly in you in all its richness. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Let it dwell in you richly. Richly. The devil has stolen a lot from me and from you over our lifetime. Yeah. And you know what? It's awful that he has. The devil's stolen from us, from you, from me, But, you know, we need to demand that he stops in Jesus' name. Take authority over him. And take back all that's rightfully ours. Things that can be taken back anyway. Yeah. It's written, if a thief is found, he should pay back sevenfold. Well, you know, we need to demand what's rightfully ours. If the devil is stolen from us in Jesus' name, he's kept it from us, stolen it away. Yeah. Doing what he's done. Oh, man. Some of you are in spiritual poverty today. Some of you in physical poverty. Physically sick. Yeah. Some areas blocked by the devils from you getting the abundant life, the abundant supply that God has for your life. You're not, you know, you're not living the abundant life. Something's going on here. The enemy is trying to stop you. The enemy is trying to steal from you. You need to say, that's enough, devil. No more. I demand what's mine in the name of Jesus. You take your hands off my property, off of my body, off of my family, off of my loved ones, off of my finances, off of my health. Go, devil, in Jesus' name. And then you declare who you are. Let him know, I know who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm born from above. I have the authority and I have overcome the evil one. I'm living in the blessings of Abraham. I'm blessed because the blessing of the Lord maketh rich out of no sorrow. And that blessing is on me right now, devil. So go in Jesus' name. You know, I'm not weak, devil. I'm not going to just turn over and give up like that dog. I have strong faith. I'm going to drive the enemy from the field of battle right now. I'm going to drive you off of here. You're not going to prevail in this field of battle, devil. Healing is mine. Blessing is mine. I will keep what God has given me in Jesus' name. Amen. I will. And I will possess it. And I'll not be robbed. See, you got to declare these things. You got to let your confession be strong in the devil's face. Because he wants you to alter that confession. He wants to weaken your confession. He wants to weaken your profession of faith, in other words. He wants to stop you from walking in what Jesus has said is rightfully yours. He wants to stop you from walking in that today. Are you going to let him? Listen, make up your mind. I'm not going to let him steal these things from me. I'm not going to live that kind of life. The devil's stolen from me life, you know. That's got to be you, right? It's got to be you. A lot of people say they believe God. They talk a good talk, but there's really no believing there. You got to keep believing, saints. You got to keep believing. Don't let go. Terry Myers, he was a missionary in Mexico. I think I might have told this story once a number of years ago, but he was picked up, he picked up a rider in his car, and the rider pulled a gun on him and said, get out of the car. And he said, you can't kill me or hurt me in Jesus' name. And he shot 6 times at not more than 3 feet away at Terry. And Terry was not hurt. He reached out and took the gun and threw it down on the ground. See? Not hurt at all. You can't kill me or hurt me in Jesus' name, devil. You got to declare that over yourself. You got to declare that over your life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, instead of giving in to fear, the disciples should have been the one to rebuke the storm. And let Jesus keep on sleeping because Jesus had told them, he gave them the word of the Lord, the word of God. We're going over to the other side. Yeah. Don't tell me that storm is too big for Jesus to bring you through it, what you're in right now. Don't tell me it's too big for that. I don't believe it. The question is, are you going to believe God? You need to make up your mind before the storm comes, before that next storm comes. You know, there was a town in America that a tornado was coming towards, a small group of Christians, and there's been a lot of tornadoes this year. A small group of Christians went out in front of it and rebuked it and said, you're not going to hit our town in Jesus' name. And it lifted up and went over the town and came down on the other side. You know? Yeah, that's right. The authority that God's given us, they walked in that authority and they spoke to that storm. And I know there was a tornado coming toward our house here in Billings area. when we had a tornado that tore up the auditorium of the big city auditorium, and it tore up a lot of houses, and it was headed our way. I got out on the front porch, and I said, "I rebuke you in Jesus' name, tornado. You're not going to hit our house. You're not going to hit us in Jesus' name." And it turned and went a different way. See? But you got to believe this. You got to believe it. You got to take your authority and walk like it's really real, because it is really real. God is really real, and a lot of people think it's a fantasy. The way they live their Christian lives, it looks like they think he's a fantasy, but he's not a fantasy. He's real. He's real, and he's real for us. Okay? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord's going to, pick you up out of your mess that you got yourself into by not believing God, if you let him. And if you say, "Lord, I'm sorry I didn't believe you. I repent for my unbelief." But would it have been better if he'd never, if you'd never gotten into that mess in the first place and just believed God? Would it be better if we never got ourselves into a lot of things, if we would have been believing God and not walking in that unbelief and fear? Fear will take you to places you really don't want to go. If you keep yielding to it over and over and over again. Yeah. Fear will take us places that really is not where we want to go, okay? Because fear is walking in the devil's territory, because God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. Say you're believing God for a pair of shoes. You don't have a pair of shoes on your feet. And they don't come, and you're tempted to think, "Well, God doesn't hear me. Your mind starts thinking that. God doesn't hear me. God doesn't hear. Mind says. Our mind tells us it doesn't work. Nothing's going to happen. What happened? You let the mind get in the way and rob you of that which God has promised. See? You think God's not big enough to get you a pair of shoes if you'll believe for it? But see, if the mind steps in, see, has that ever happened to you? Yeah, of course it's happened to you. Maybe not over shoes, but it could have been over your rent money. It could have been over, your car. You needed a new car, maybe not brand new, but a car. The devil does this stuff, right? But we resist the devil, and we receive the blessings of the Lord, and we fight the good fight of faith, possess our inheritance in Christ Jesus. Yes, we do, in Jesus' name. Yes, we do. All right, well, I better wind this up here, don't I? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a measure of faith, Lord, that we can walk in this faith and we can possess the promises of God and not be blocked and given place to the fear and the doubt and the unbelief of the enemy. But instead, we can receive the promises of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, that we have a witness inside of us to the truth. And we have that word, that sure word living in us that speaks up, says yes. It says you can do this. You can receive this. Yes. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, who encourages us onward. He encourages us to keep on and not give up and not roll over like that dog. Oh, my. Don't want to be like that. We're the big German shepherd and the devil's a little rat dog, right? He's a little acting like a big dog, but he's not a big dog, see? And yet we all think he's such a big dog. And yet Jesus defeated him already. So, Lord, we thank you that he's not a big dog. He's a defeated foe. And we're the victors in Christ Jesus, but we're still enforcing the victory upon the enemy until Jesus comes. And we're still walking in the authority that God gave us in the earth, Lord. And Lord, let us not forget who we are and what you've made us and where we're going to. These are such important things. Lord, thank you for just letting these realities be real to us, Father. These truths be real, that we love your truth, we embrace your truth, and we walk in it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate you and what you've done for us, Lord, and what you will do in the future, Lord, because you're a faithful God, and you'll stay true to us till Jesus comes back. Thank you, Jesus, and forever after that. Wow. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just say, Lord, I repent for not trusting you like I should. I repent for, you know, embracing the world culture, things of the world. I'm sorry, Lord. I repent and I apply the blood of Jesus over me. Cleanse me from all sin and all unrighteousness. Have any idolatries out there? Whatever I put before you, I have no other God before you. I will have no other God before you. We praise you, Father, now as we do that, and we just turn away from those things that have hindered us in the past and turn toward you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Father, we glorify you now, and we give you all the glory. Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to do some deliverance now. Come back in just a few minutes here. And then we will go ahead and cast out some evil spirits for a while. We have a little time here to do that. So let's go ahead and take advantage of the time that we have and accomplish some things that need to be accomplished tonight. All right. Be back in a few minutes.
Golden man that changed me. my skies to blue.
Get up and exercise around a little bit. You know, I don't like to sit for 2 full hours and not move. It's not the best thing for the body. Just sit and sit and sit all the time. So I got up and moved around. So anyway, back here, ready to go. Let's do some deliverance here for the remaining time that we have. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just say in the name of Jesus, I command every wicked spirit to come out of me now. I reject you. I command you in Jesus' name to leave me now. Whatever that spirit is that you're wanting out of you, or those spirits that you're wanting out of you, that's right. You take authority. You speak to them. You tell them they have to go. And I break the curse of whatever it is and command the spirits that enforce the curse on me to leave me in Jesus' name. Come out. Okay, so let's start calling them out then. Let's start calling them out. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Spirit of strife, we command it to go in the name of Jesus. Strife, come out, spirit of strife, argumentative strife, spirit fighting with one another, striving with one another. We break that curse of strife and command it to go in the name of Jesus. Spirit of strife, come out. Spirit of strife, come out, let it go all the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Angel, sword this demon of strife. Sword that argument all the way out. Come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, 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 all the way out in the name of Jesus right now, all the way, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Spirit of jealousy, you come out. Spirit of jealousy, come out, 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 all the way out, all the way up out of there, go, come out, come on. Gotta go. Spit them out. Cough them out. Sigh them out. You scream them out. Let them go. Vomit them out. Whatever it is, you just let them go. Breathe them. Come out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Envious spirit. Envy. Come on out. Envy and jealousy. Come out. Come on. Gotta go. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go. Come out of there. Envy. Envy. Come out. All that envy. Come out in Jesus' name. Go right now. Loose them. Come out. 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 Spirits that make people look at themselves in the mirror or anytime they see the reflection they're looking at. We had some people over the house one time. They could see themselves in the mirror, and the woman just kept looking at herself in the window. She saw herself over there, and she just couldn't keep her eyes off of it. There several hours, and kept just looking at herself. Oh, ongoing. It was just an interesting thing to watch. But that's the spirit, you know, that it's causing them to just look at themselves all the time. You come out of there. You know, a lot of children start that at a young age, and they do it the rest of their life. The spirit comes in. So we break a curse that came in as a child to cause you to just look at yourself and to be enamored with yourself and always looking. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, all the way out. All the way out. We all have to look at ourselves. We got to make sure we're presentable to the public and all that when we go to work or go out, you know, doing something. But, you know, to continually do it, then you got to realize there may be a spirit behind it. Come out right now, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out all the way out. Go. All that spirit manipulates you to look at yourself all the time. Anytime there's an opportunity, come out. Who's the first person you look for when you look at pictures? If you're in the picture, you go looking for yourself, right? People are, you know, really, you know, pretty much self-focused, even Christians. I mean, we look for ourselves first in the picture, you know? Keep coming out of there, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. Go, in Jesus' name, the timid spirit, come out right now, that timid spirit, the shy spirits. We rebuke the shy spirit, the timid spirits. Come out, make you shy, afraid to speak up for Jesus, afraid to be bold. Come out, all that timidity, shyness, come out. Come out, come out, come out. The Lord rebuke you, I rebuke you. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, 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 out. All the way out, come out, timid, shyness, come out. Keep coming out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go, up out of there in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come all the way out. Those timid and shy spirits. Come on, you got to go all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, that withdrawal calls you to withdraw into yourself. Come out. That spirit of withdrawal, you come out, come out, come out, come out. The spirit of withdrawal, come out right now. Calls you to withdraw and escapism, come out. Withdrawal, come out in Jesus' name. Isolation, come out. We break that spirit of isolating yourself, come out. Come out, 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 come out. That isolation, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there, all the way out. Go, 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 go. All the way up and out of there. All the way out of there. The blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You go, go, all the way out. All the way out. Come out, come out. Come out, come out, in Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. Come out of there, up and out of there. Go, in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out, come out. Blood of Jesus, you have to go. Keep coming out. Headstrong spirit, bullheaded. You come out of there right now. That headstrong and bullheaded spirit. I bind that bullheadedness. Come out. Come out. All that headstrong, bullheadedness. Come out. Come out of there. Jesus' name. You stop that and come out of there. Jesus' name. We break the curse. Inherited curses of bullheadedness and headstrong. Come out in the name of Jesus. Right now. Go. Go right now, loose them and let them go. That bullheaded spirit, I bind you. Come out, that headstrong spirit. Come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus against you right now. You got to go all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out. All the way up out of there. Cough a few times. Get them moving. All the way. Bullheaded spirit. Headstrong. Come out. Impatient. Come out. In Jesus' name. Impatient. Come out. Spirit of impatience. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. That impatient spirit. All the way out. Impatience. Come out. Come on. All the way. all the way out. Intolerant, come out. In Jesus' name, intolerant. Have no tolerance for anybody as a children or whatever. Come out of there all the way out. Go, 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 go. All the way out, up and out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Go, go. That spirit that makes it hard for you to admit you were wrong, come out. Hard to admit you're wrong. And you come out of there right now. Go, 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 go. Doesn't want you to say you're sorry. Doesn't want to admit you're wrong. Come out. Come out of there. Move, 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 move. Up and out of there. Up and out of there. In Jesus' name. Up and out of there. All the way out. Hard to admit you're wrong. Can't admit you're wrong. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Go. Go. All the way out. All the way out. Go. Up and out of there. Go. In the name of Jesus. Have to go. All the way out. All the way out. Come on up out of there. Move in Jesus' name. Move in Jesus' name. Hard to admit you're wrong. Come out. 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 All the way. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. All the way. The blood of Jesus. Go. The blood of Jesus. All the way. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I command you to go. The name of Jesus. All the way out. That blame-shifting spirit, you go right now. Blame-shifting. Want to blame everybody else but yourself. That blame-shifting, come out. I'm going to blame so-and-so. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Blame-shifting spirit. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. Mental abuse, come out. Being abused mentally abusing yourself or being mentally abused as a child even, you come out of there. All that mental abuse, come out, come out. Emotional abuse, come out, come out, come out. Verbal abuse, come out. Mental, emotional, and verbal abuse. Even physical abuse, if you were beat as a child by your father or mother, come out. All that physical abuse, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Verbal abuse, come out, 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 come out. Rejection abuse, you were just rejected and abused with rejection because they wouldn't show you love. So you were emotionally abused by rejection, being rejected over and over. You wanted their love, they didn't give it to you. Come out, 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 come out. Rejection abuse, come out, come out. Emotional abuse, come out, 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 come out. All the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus against you, come out. Come out of there. Be weakened by the blood. The angel sword these demons. Sword these demons. Come out. Come out. Compulsive eating. Come out. That compulsive eating and obesity. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Obesity. Overeating. Come out. Gluttony. Come out. 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 No control over your diet. You won't stop until you're stuffed. Come out. Come out, 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 come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Junk food, craving junk food, come out, 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 come out of there, all the way out. Jesus' name, go up out of there, loose them and let them go, all the way out, all the way out, all the way up out of there, go, 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 all the way out, in Jesus' name. Couch potato spirits, come out. Just sitting on the couch, watching TV. Couch potato, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. TV addiction, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. And be weakened in Jesus' name by the blood of Jesus. Sword these demons, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Compulsive eating, come on. Obesity, come out, come out, come out. Gluttonous spirit, come out. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out of there. Obsessive compulsive spirit, come out, 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 come out. All the way out in Jesus' name, all the way out in Jesus' name. You got to go, keep coming out, all the way up out of there. Pain from injuries, pain spirit, cause you to get injured and then bring the pain on when you do. Come out, all that pain, come out, spirit of pain. Pain from getting hurt, come out. All that pain, pain in the body, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, go, go, go. Come out, pain. Come out, pain. Come out, pain, all the way out. Come 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 on. All that pain's got to go. Okay? Got to go. Macular degeneration, come out. Cataract, glaucoma, come out. Glaucoma, come out. Come on, macular degeneration, eye problems, come out. Come out, blindness, come out. Come out of there. Come out, macular degeneration, come out of the eyes, come out. We break the curse, generational genetic curses, come out. All the way out, macular degeneration, come out. Come out, come out, come out. Blindness, come out, come out. Cataracts, come out. Glaucoma, come out. Come out of the eyes, come out of the eyes, come out of the body, come out. The curses have to go in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out. All those curses of the body, come out. Curses of the body, come out. In the name of Jesus, right now, loose them and let them go. Come out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Come on, gotta go, gotta go. Come on, keep going, all the way out. Fear of disapproval, you come out. Fear that people disapprove of you, and so you do anything to get their approval, come out. That fear of disapproval, come out. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. Fear of disapproval, come out, 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 come out. Come on, fear of disapproval, you got to go. Got to go all the way out. In Jesus' name, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out of there, up and out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Go in Jesus' name. Fear of disapproval, afraid you'll have your mom or dad disapproval or somebody at work disapproval or whatever. You come out of there. Fear of disapproval, come out, 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 come out in Jesus' name. The blood is against you, demons. The angels go to sword those demons. Sword them, sword them, sword them right now. Sword them. You got to come out of there all the way out. Fear of disapproval. Fear. A lot of people are bound by that one. I've seen that go on in a lot of people. They live their whole lives. They're afraid that they'll have somebody's disapproval. And because they didn't, couldn't get the approval of their parents and as they're growing up, and so they live their life under that spirit, and they never get rid of it. But see, we can get rid of it because we know about deliverance, and we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices. So let's get rid of it. Fear of disapproval all the way out, 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 out there, all the way out of there. In Jesus' name, up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out, all the way out. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out. All the way out. Fear of disapproval. Go, go. We break the curse. Come out. Break the curse according to the one who became a curse for us. Jesus became a curse so we don't have to bear the curse. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to bear it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We break the poverty curse right now. Poverty curses. Come out. We break those generational poverty curses to keep people from, getting ahead. They only go so far and no more. Come out of there right now. That poverty curse, we break it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, loose the people, let them go all the way out. Come out, poverty. Come out, poverty. Come out, poverty in the name of Jesus. Go. We break your power. We break your control over people. Poverty curse, poverty mentality. Come out. 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 That poverty mentality, hold people back mentally, financially, and from getting ahead, come out, all the way out, go, go, poverty spirits, I bind you, come out, come out, all the way up out of there, all that poverty, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, fear of responsibility, you come out too, fear of responsibility, I bind you, come out, fear of responsibility. You don't want to be promoted because there's more responsibility. You don't want to do more. Come out. More responsibility. Come out. Come out. You want to, have to do much because you don't want to. You're afraid of responsibility. You don't want any more responsibility. Come out. All that fear, fear of responsibility. Come out. 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 Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Let it go. All the way out. Fear of change. You come out. Fear of change. Come out. Come out. Just want to stay the same. It's just the status quo. Just want to keep it the way it has been. Don't want to change. Don't want to step out and have a different life than this. Come out. Fear of change. Come out. Fear of change. Come out. That fear of change. We break the curse of fear of change. Come out of there. All the way out in the name of Jesus right now. Fear of change. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out, fear of change. You're a hindering spirit. Come out, because in the Lord, we're going to have to change. We're going to have to accept change as hard as it is. We're going to have some changes take place in our lives, all of us, if we're going to grow. Come out of there. Fear of change. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out. 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 Come up and out of there. Up and out of there in the name of Jesus. Fear of change. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Fear of change, up and out. Fear of change, come out now. Come on, come out. Come out of there, up and out. Let it go, every bit of it. Come on, cough it out, let it out, breathe it out. Come out, up and out. Fear of change, fear of change. Come out, come out, come out, come out. In Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out, in Jesus' name. Fear of crowds, you come out. Fear of crowds of people, come out, come out, come out. Fear of water, some people are afraid of the water. Come out, all the way out. They won't get in the water. They're afraid of the water. They're afraid of drowning. Fear of drowning, fear of water, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, in Jesus' name, go, 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 come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. Some people are afraid of policemen, fear of policemen and a fear of authority. Come out, come out, fear of the police, fear of the highway patrol, come out, all the way up out of there, go in the name of Jesus, all the way out, cough it out, all the way out, let them go, all the way out, couple of coughs, get them moving, come out, come out, come out. Fear of the police, come out. Fear of authority, come out. In Jesus' name, go all the way out. All the way out. All the way out. Father, we thank you for this deliverance tonight. Feel the deliverance to the people who've received tonight. Help us to keep getting more and let all the stragglers come out too in Jesus' name. Every one of them, go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you for a time that we've had together tonight. And just ask you to bless every listener who listens both now and in the future, and appreciate each and every one of them. And Lord, bless them and encourage them all. In Jesus' name, we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks for being here today and appreciate you. And may the Lord bless you in this next week and this second week of July as we go into that. Lord be with you and encourage you and strengthen you in your walk with him as you get closer. And yes, good to have you people in the chat room. Bless you guys. And thank you as well. And the Lord bless you. You're welcome. Praise the Lord. All right. We'll go ahead and come back in a few minutes. Bye. To home. I've been a million places, I've seen a ton of faces, but no love and no reason to live. Then one day, someone told me about a better life. I met the man, I took his hand, now I'm alive, now I'm free. Thank you.
superficiality in this loving family. Yes, I know this is where I wanna serve my Lord. I will find the others who are lost and covered by the blinding ways of the world. I see now that there's more, there's a better life. I have reason now, I can hold it in. I wanna scream it out, but now I'm free.
Praise the Lord. We are free in Him. Yes, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Can we let Him set us free? Let that become our reality. I tell you what, the realities that I have experienced in Jesus are better than any of the realities, really, that I've experienced in this world. The spiritual reality, the spiritual presence, the sensing of His glory, the sensing of His very presence there in the moments and times that I've had with Him, there's nothing that can compare to that. And I tell you, I just would encourage you to seek Him and seek His presence in your life. Seek His life. The life of God, the infusion of His life, the infusion of the awareness of Jesus being there with you at every moment and every second. And when you're aware of that, I mean, everything can look very different. Anyway, just let Him love on you this week and be encouraged that He does love you and He is there, whether you want to press in and find out or not. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I believe His promises, don't you? If He said He's never going to leave us, and I believe He meant what He said, and He does what He says, and it becomes a reality. And we should choose to live in that reality, and it's really up to you to do that. You have a choice. Believe or don't believe. Faith or unbelief. I'm going to believe. How about you? Amen. All right. Love y'all. Good night. And may the Lord guide you and direct you in your life and the direction that you take and the decisions that you make. In Jesus' name. All right. Well, good night now. God bless.